Welcome to InfoWars Nightly News and this vitally important Thursday edition. We're going to go to the Nightly News with Darren McBreen in one moment, but first, this breaking news alert. I have talked to multiple members of the Border Patrol and former members. We have also talked to multiple medical doctors, one of them who went on record today on my syndicated radio broadcast and had this to say.
Well, a friend of mine that's a resident at Truman Medical Center, which is where I did my residency at, called me and said, hey, you know, we've got a possible Ebola patient here, and he's bleeding out of all of it. I'm not going to use the language he used, but he's bleeding out of all of his orifices. He's in septic shock, hypotensive, high fever. He was visiting Africa, or he was from Africa, I believe, and had recently been here in the Kansas City area. They took care of him in the ICU. Of course, it was not a rapid test, so they weren't sure, but I think they ordered the test and they sent it off, and they moved him to the ICU and they put him in isolation. The following day, he called me back and said they disappeared the patient. I said, what do you mean they disappeared him? So the patient's gone. They were told that he left AMA, which means against medical advice, but the guy wouldn't have been able to leave. I mean, he was in that bad of a shape. The following day, they had a meeting with anybody that had contact with that patient and said that he did not have Ebola, he had malaria. That's when we heard that all these other cases in these other cities, they were coming back and saying, no, they didn't have Ebola, they had malaria. That seemed like that was that's what they were told to tell everybody. Well, then we had a second patient at Research Medical Center that was rumored to have, because I have friends there too, and they called me, so we have a possible Ebola patient. That patient disappeared. There's a patient more recently at KU Medical Center, which is just, you know, down just across on the Kansas side, about 20 minutes from here. And that patient, I don't know what the status of that patient is, but they came out and said that he didn't have Ebola, but he had typhoid. So something very, very strange is going on. And I wouldn't have thought much about it, but this is happening in other areas of the country, not only in Kansas City. These patients are disappearing. They're doing something on the patients, and God knows where they're going.
That was Dr. James Lorenzi saying exactly what I was told by a major medical manager who's a medical doctor in Dallas who I've known for at least a year, but he was scared to go public. We also have sources in North Carolina and many other areas that are inside hospitals saying that they're clearly covering up Ebola patients and secretly quarantining them or disappearing them. That's exactly what Zach Taylor, retired former senior Border Patrol agent and the head of the Retirees Union, said 2 months ago and what he told us back on October 10th.
The agents are telling us that they're seeing some people that are obviously sick with shivering type illnesses, with possibly dehydrating illnesses like diarrhea and vomiting. But those people are disappearing. We don't know what they have, where they're going, where they're taking them. Surely they're being quarantined somewhere. We just don't know where. And even the agents don't know what the diagnosis is of these illnesses.
That story and video is at InfoWars.com as well. We know that just two nurses in Dallas who came in contact with an Ebola patient ended up getting it. Do we really believe that's where it stopped? We know they're telling firefighters and police that they need to use codes and don't use the word Ebola.
Hey, I'm just calling to confirm the earlier reports that you had about how we're dispatched to a call whether it's possible Ebola, that they do not want to say Ebola over the air. And they will say for our agency, quote, they have positive answers to additional screening questions, which our dispatchers ask to the patient.
So government is keeping the borders open, flying in unlimited West Africans from countries literally collapsing under Ebola. We have people dying on New York flights from West Africa, vomiting to death. And before they're even tested, the news tells us no Ebola, nothing to see here, go back to sleep. They're telling the medical doctors and other personnel around the country, say that it is some other illness out of Africa. Say that it's something other than Ebola, even though the supposed symptoms of the diseases that they're claiming it really is don't match those of Ebola. And what we're seeing in these patients are things that are consistent with Ebola, and the medical professionals believe that a cover-up is taking place. Please visit InfoWars.com so you can see the full, unedited interview that aired live today on my radio show and read the articles and the backstory to fully understand what's happening in these two different reports. Missouri doctor, suspected Ebola patient witnessed bleeding out of all orifices. Hospital altered patient diagnosis to stave off public panic? Question mark. Another headline. Medical professional, health authorities may be covering up Ebola cases in U.S. But here's what we know is happening. Exclusive patients being disappeared to prevent panic. That's what we were told by former and current Border Patrol has been going on for months. So there's clearly a cover-up going. They're clearly telling firefighters and police to say it's not Ebola. They're telling healthcare workers to shut up. This is a very serious situation as they continue the flights in from West Africa. The big question is, where are these people being taken and why do criminal elements of the federal government want Ebola to spread, not just here, but in places like Madrid, Spain? Why did they violate the default of never bring Ebola patients into your country and block flights from countries when there's an outbreak and do screenings? That question and a lot more will be examined as we officially kick off InfoWars Nightly News straight ahead with Darren McBreen sitting in this chair. Stay with us.
Tonight, what's it going to take to contain the Ebola outbreak and the origins of ISIS revealed? That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Absolute brainwashing with a public that doesn't even know who the players are. The Council on Foreign Relations last year had the headline, Why We Need Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda in Iraq 4 years ago was allowed to set up bases in the west of Iraq.
Recently, the United States military accidentally airdropped a pallet of weapons and supplies to ISIS terrorists in Syria. A huge mistake, according to U.S. officials who are claiming that the weapons were intended for Kurdish forces defending the besieged and strategically important Syrian city of Kobani. So far, the U.S. air campaign that's being played up as a heroic gesture by the corporate media, well, it's not really working out too well. ISIS has yet to retreat. The offensive against Kobani continues, and although there has been some isolated strikes that have killed ISIS terrorists, the majority of airstrikes in Syria have killed thousands of civilians, including women and children, not to mention the fact that the U.S. airstrikes largely increase an already serious refugee crisis in the country. Because when your house gets burned down, you no longer have a place to live. That's usually how that works. But was the airdrop of weapons and supplies to ISIS really a mistake? After all, it's always been the ultimate goal of the United States and its allies to put boots on the ground in Syria and to remove al-Assad from power. The mistaken airdrop could be used as an excuse to send in U.S. ground forces. But wait a minute. Why on earth would the U.S. government purposely give ISIS terrorists weapons? I mean, these are the same Muslim extremists who are going around beheading journalists and executing Christians right now. Do you mean to tell me the U.S. government is so corrupt, that they're so evil, that they would actually do something like that? Oh, yes. Yes, they would. And the evidence is overwhelming. In fact, the pallet of weapons that has supposedly ended up in the wrong hands, what's really insignificant compared to the total ISIS arsenal. Not only does ISIS have in their possession tons of weaponry taken from the retreating Iraqi forces, but the terrorist army now has long-range artillery and thousands of automatic weapons, courtesy of the good old USA. Now, I know that some of you don't want to hear about this right now, and I'll admit that it's a tough pill to swallow, but we all need to wake up and understand what's really going on right now. The U.S. State Department is coordinating uprisings throughout the entire Middle East. These nations have been deliberately targeted for destabilization, and ISIS, like al-Qaeda, is an American creation.
The West didn't want stable, secular, upright, prosperous Middle Eastern countries. There was a major school of that there going back to the time of Egypt and before. So when you hear about Ronald Reagan or Jimmy Carter, quote, creating Al-Qaeda and having them attack the Russians, they didn't create them. There was a relationship going back to British intelligence before that, again, specifically in Afghanistan, not just in Saudi Arabia. And so when we then see Obama caught with Benghazi giving 15,000 surface-to-air MPAD missiles that can shoot down aircraft all day long and all these other weapons to the Al-Qaeda rebels in Syria and the whole thing that's happened in Iraq, all of it has been orchestrated by the globalist in D.C., in London, in Tel Aviv, in Istanbul, formerly Constantinople. And so there is no debating that the people running our government planned this whole deal. This war against ISIS is totally staged. The only reason it's happening is that there's such public education now about who really runs this and that it's Al-Qaeda, they changed the name two or three times to IS, to ISIS, back to IS, now to the Caliphate, back to the Caliphate, to confuse you. It's just absolute brainwashing with a public that doesn't even know who the players are. Al-Qaeda in Iraq 4 years ago was allowed to set up bases in the west of Iraq and invade eastern Syria. They started the civil war 4 years ago in Syria. They were given massive funding. They're 65%, according to NATO, of the rebel force. The Council on Foreign Relations last year had the headline, "Why We Need Al-Qaeda." And they said, "Give them air support to take over the country and we'll remove them later." Bull.
That's right. These are clandestine operations orchestrated by the CIA to take over Middle Eastern governments. The United States used Al-Qaeda example to take over Libya. And remember, it was Senator John McCain, when he went into Benghazi, he was there to campaign for financial and military support for the militants who were fighting Muammar Gaddafi. And well, what happened to that money? That money and those weapons, they actually ended up in the hands of Al-Qaeda.
We may actually have the photographic evidence of the handshakes that set those deals in motion.
Well, yeah, Marcos, pull that up. I want to take a look at that. Here's John McCain standing next to a known Al-Qaeda leader. But I guess when he's standing next to John McCain, they call him a pro-democracy rebel. Yeah, you like that name? That sounds like something George Orwell would have come up with. Marcos, what's his real name?
It says his name is Abdelhakim Belhaj. He's a known Al-Qaeda leader. It's well known that we've been funding destabilization campaigns in these developing regions for long periods of time. They made a whole movie about it starring Tom Hanks. So if you have any qualms or if you have any questions about whether or not the government's actually doing this, they have been. We send people in to destabilize the region and then turn them into an enemy that gets us in the region to take control.
That's right. And McCain, pictured there, caught with his pants down. I mean, we are giving Muslim extremists billions of dollars in weapons, cash, and equipment. Like I said, and like you said, Marcos, this is to destabilize the region. The CIA arms Al-Qaeda. They create ISIS to go in there and butcher Christians, behead journalists, to the point where the American people start demanding that we finally go in there and do something about it. And ISIS wasn't created overnight. The United States has a long history of arming terrorists. And there's always the blowback factor as well. And that usually comes back to bite us in the ass.
The people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago.
Spoken like a true insider. Hey, we're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, Dan Dix is going to join us from Ottawa, where Parliament is on a lockdown right now, and Canadian officials are intimidating journalists. This as a result from yesterday's deadly shooting. Dan Dix from Ottawa when we come back right after this.
DNA Force.
When cells become toxic, they die early and aging sets in.
DNA Force.
No one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. Just one of the key compounds, BioPQQ, is backed by major clinical studies.
DNA Force.
We now have the synergistic solution. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
DNA Force.
The globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula sourced from powerful organic herbs and then concentrated for maximum potency. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. For a limited time, we are offering 15% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com to introduce you to this powerful supplement. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsLife.com.
Now, earlier today on the Alex Jones Show, Dan Dix gave us an update on the shooting at Parliament in Ottawa. And he joins us again live on the scene. Dan, thanks for joining us.
No problem. My pleasure to be here.
Hey, what's this I hear about that they're not releasing any security footage of the gunman from Parliament? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I heard a little bit about that on the way to cover this, that conveniently, none of the footage from inside Parliament actually shows any clips from this individual who apparently walked in there past security, past metal detectors with a long gun in hand. And some speculate that he knew where the camera was and knew where to dodge things, but it is very, very fishy. It's interesting, to say the least. So we're going to try to keep a very close eye on that one, that's for sure, too.
Now, what about Canadian officials telling the public not to post any pictures or any videos that they may have captured on the internet or on social media? Because naturally, there would be people that just happen to be caught up at the scene that maybe have witnessed something. Why would they tell people not to share any of their experiences on the internet?
Well, they're the propaganda spin masters. They need to control the official narrative that is going to come of this. And so far, they've already shaped and molded the official narrative, which is this guy is a terrorist and he's a radical extremist who is doing things in retaliation for ISIS. Now, they have already came out and said this flat out, even though the fact that this just happened yesterday, we really don't know all the facts. But the Canadian media has already labeled this as a terrorist incident. As I said earlier, there's newspapers all over the world now saying terrorism has arrived in Canada. And they've already done the damage by conditioning Canadians to think that this indeed was a terrorist attack. Meanwhile, we don't even know. This guy could be set up, could be an informant, could have been incubated and coerced and co-opted into pulling off something like this or allowed to let this happen. It's still too early to say, but there's a lot of still very, very fishy things and a lot of questions that we have here. And that's why we wanted to come down to counter a little bit of this MSM spin machine that's going on here.
Well, I also heard that not only did they tell the public, but the Canadian officials also told the Canadian press not to share pictures as well. I mean, since when did they tell the press not to share what they may have uncovered on video? I mean, I think that's pretty strange.
Yeah, they in fact have already made it rather difficult for myself to even acquire media accreditation to get into Ottawa's press gallery. They've making us run through loops. But of course, if you're part of the approved mainstream media who's going to tout the party line, then you're allowed in. But we are here on the ground still. So we're here just doing everything we can do to uncover everything. There's a lot going on right now. I'll show you. There's some huge media presence across the street. There's a lot of police officers here. This is actually the memorial itself right here where the individual was shot yesterday. And they have set up a little memorial here. As you can see, people have been visiting it all day long. That is the tomb of the unknown soldier that you can see back there. This is where the Canadian soldier was standing there on guard when the gunman walked up and shot him. And this soldier was armed with a weapon. However, they're not loaded. They don't let the Canadian soldiers here load their weapons when they're standing on guard. So unfortunately, he was fatally shot, and our thoughts and prayers go out to the family members. But had he been armed, perhaps this could have been avoided.
Yeah, that's a shame, and hopefully that'll change in the future. Now, we've also heard reports, and I wanted to ask you about this, that the Canadian police were actually pointing their weapons at journalists in order to intimidate them. I mean, have you heard anything about that?
I've seen some of that online. I just got in late last night and have just been filming out on the grounds, filming the whole time. So I haven't seen a whole lot of what's been coming in just yet from the mainstream media, other than what I'm hearing, you know, around me here on the grounds here. But that is certainly no surprise. As I said, they need to be the propaganda spin masters. So if that means controlling Canadian journalists to the point of sticking guns in their faces, it looks like they're going to go to those extremes here to make sure that either the truth doesn't get out or that they make sure that they have all angles covered when it comes to telling the people what happened here.
All right. Well, great report, Dan. We really appreciate it. Before we go, have you learned anything else that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I think the bottom line and the most important thing here is that we need to be very careful of the response to things like this. The Canadian government, we simply can't go on to bomb other countries in the Middle East because of this. We simply can't restrict Canadians' freedoms because of this. And so I would just encourage people to not live in fear of the terrorists. They've conditioned you to be this way. And let's just ensure that, you know, we don't call for stricter gun control, more powers for the state, because they're the ones who always benefit from these types of events.
Fantastic. All right. Thanks, Dan, from Ottawa, Canada. We look forward to more reports to come.
Thanks.
For more coverage from Dan Dix and the shooting at Parliament and the lockdown at Parliament, be sure to check out pressfortruth.ca. Now, we're going to take a quick break. The InfoWars Nightly News will return right after this. So stick around.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off super detox special at InfoWarsLife.com.
Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. Backed by FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. Take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
I want to explain something. Interviewing multiple medical doctors, Harvard medical doctors, you name it, over the years. And a lot of articles have been written about this. You can look them up for yourself. There's a lot of evidence that Ebola was developed in laboratories and then released in the jungles of Western and Central Africa.
Larry Ford had mutated cholera, typhoid, anthrax, botulism, bubonic plague, and had also come up with germs that he called kaffir-killing germs. Kaffir, as you may know, in Afrikaans, is the equivalent of the N-word. So these were germs that were specifically engineered to kill only black people.
In other words, an ethnic biological weapon.
As it mutates, it will become more aggressive and even airborne. And then one of the heads of the University of Texas Biology Department who is a global exterminist. He believes that at least 90% of the population should be reduced. His acolytes, his graduate students that are now medical doctors, PhDs, microbiologists, responded to us criticizing him 6 years ago and the FBI visiting him by sending me open letters that we published saying, listen, we will exterminate everyone. In fact, here's quotes from the Texas newspapers that reported on it out of Houston. I watched in amazement as a few hundred members of the Texas Academy of Sciences rose to their feet and gave standing ovation to a speech that enthusiastically advocated the elimination of 90% of the Earth's population by airborne Ebola.
We are an epidemic waiting to happen. And because we're so mobile and so dense, we can get on airplanes and fly across oceans.
No, I think
disease is going to spread fast. And the people who've studied this, the epidemiologists
that's a common view,
and medical people are very, very concerned about the next pandemic.
The 2014 wave of upwards of 300,000 illegals crossing the United States southern border is only the beginning.
He's told the world that with a stroke of his pen, he will, by presidential directive, by executive order, provide legal status to 5 to 6 million people unlawfully in the country. Allowing any president to nullify law is a threat to the future of our republic and to the ultimate power of the people to control it.
As Obama's failed policies, scandals, and questionable leadership open a deep wound in the Democratic Party's dwindling chances.
Do you approve of the job President Obama is doing? Now, there'll be a chance to follow up, but this is a yes or no answer. Do you approve, yes or no?
In some ways I approve, and some things I don't approve.
President Barack Obama's administration missed their projected September 21st deadline.
What's your name?
Charlie.
Charlie?
Yeah.
Who are you with, Charlie?
Breitbart News.
Okay.
The recent story on the USCIS preparing for a surge of government IDs. Do you have a response to that?
I don't. I'd refer you to USCIS on that. I don't have any information about that.
But it is coming. Leon Rodriguez, the director of the U.S. Citizen and Immigration Services, is hiring more asylum officers as a greater tsunami of illegals is expected by year's end.
So would you please tell us what is next on the president's agenda?
The directive that we have received is to examine possibilities for different avenues to exercising that prosecutorial discretion. I know that our secretary is in a process of engaging with frontline employees at DHS, members of Congress from both sides of the aisle, and stakeholders from a broad spectrum of American society. That process is ongoing.
Alarms of Ebola infiltrating the wide open and unprepared U.S. southern border have been numerous.
The immediate thing that really keeps me up awake at night, and I'll tell you, it's the Ebola issue. By the end of the year, there's supposed to be, by the CDC and World Health and all their estimates, 1.4 million people will have been infected by Ebola, and probably 62% or something like that will have died. That's the percentage. That's horrific. There's no way, and we're already seeing it, there's no way you can keep Ebola in West Africa. And as hard as we will try to deal with it and snuff it out there, it's going to run its course for some period of time. If it comes to the Western Hemisphere, many countries in the Western Hemisphere have about no ability to deal with an Ebola outbreak. So much like Western Africa, it'll rage for some period of time. Particularly if it gets to a place like Haiti or if it gets to Central America, there's almost no reason to stay in Guatemala, El Salvador, or Honduras. There's very few job opportunities, no education access. And if you're a parent, you have a better than even chance of burying your son or daughter long before they grow into middle age. So there's almost no reason to stay there. If Ebola breaks out in Haiti or in Central America, I think it is literally Katie bar the door in terms of the mass migration of Central Americans into the United States. 68,000 children essentially wandered across our border this year. So these populations will move to either run away from Ebola, or if they have been, or in the fear of having been infected, to get to the United States, will be taken care of. So that's one issue. But the larger issue from a national security point of view is this network. This network that runs up through my part of the world, through Mexico and into the United States, is very, very decentralized on the one hand, but very, very efficient. And anything can ride on the network. We have a lot of West Africans that, of the Homeland Security folks doing their work on our southwest border. Of the number of people they capture, a very large percentage of them are West Africans. But there were five or six black guys that were there at the border waiting in line to pass into Nicaragua and then on the way north. And the embassy person walked over and just asked who they were. And they said, well, we're from Liberia. Been on the road about a week. And we're on the way to New York City illegally. So they're on the network. They had flown into, I think, Trinidad and then met up with the traffickers. And now they're on the way in. They could have made it to New York City and still be within the incubation period of Ebola. So I go back to this issue, and I've highlighted this this issue in Washington, that if it is an outbreak in the Caribbean, particularly or in Central America, it will make the 68,000 unaccompanied children, I think, look like a small problem.
You got the CDC saying 1.4 million cases by the middle of January for two countries, but the WHO saying 20,000 cases by middle November for three countries. How can you be so far off? Well, this is another one of those areas where hubris, and I say hubris not in an unkind way, could get us in trouble. My answer, which is really simple, is there's just going to be lots and lots and lots of cases and lots and lots and lots of deaths. We don't know what that number is going to be. And we just have to accept that fact. So nobody's right or wrong here. I mean, we don't know. The precision around these estimates are, in fact, big enough to drive an entire convoy through.
Age, is this the new black plague?
It's not the new black plague, not Ebola virus, but it's very important because it belongs to a category of diseases, a category of viruses, one of which could be the new black plague. There's a group of viruses that live in animals and spill over into humans, and some of them cause not only terrible disease, terrible suffering the way Ebola virus does, but also are highly transmissible and can leap from one person to another and could travel around the world. Probably not Ebola this time, but the next one could be even more serious.
We're finding biohazardous materials. We're finding medical stuff, needles along the border.
The eugenicist propaganda of overpopulation has collided head-on into the looming Ebola crisis.
I think the top leadership issue challenging our world today is how to deal with a continuing growing population in the world and all the resource demands it places on the world and burgeoning populations in Africa and Asia that lack the resources to have a healthy, happy life. And I think we've got to find a way to make the world work for everyone.
If overpopulation, Ebola, and the economy are such an administrative concern,
What I've directed the CDC to do is that as soon as somebody is diagnosed with Ebola, we want a rapid response team, a SWAT team, essentially, from the CDC to be on the ground as quickly as possible, hopefully within 24 hours, so that they are taking the local hospital step by step through exactly what needs to be done.
Then why let hundreds of thousands of illegals sneak over the border quietly in the night and give them jobs unemployed Americans supposedly don't want to do? John Bound for InfoWars.com.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for tonight's broadcast. The InfoWars Nightly News will return, Lord willing, tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time, Texas time, that is. Until then, have a great evening, and we'll see you back right here tomorrow night.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can like taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water.
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered through the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water. Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.